Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23. And I've been preaching our way through the book of 1 Samuel. And you'll notice this morning there's an outline of the text in your bulletins, which I will refer to from time to time as the sermon goes along. 1 Samuel 23, verses 1 through 13. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. When David was told, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors," he inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines?" The Lord answered him, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Here in Judah we are afraid. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces?" Once again David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, "Go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, fought the Philistines, and carried off their livestock. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. Now Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah. Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, and he said, "God has handed him over to me, for David has imprisoned himself by entering a town with gates and bars." And Saul called up all his forces for battle to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David learned that Saul was plotting against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod." David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come to Keilah and destroy the town on account of me. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will." Again David asked, "Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will." So David and his men, about 600 in number, left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. And when Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from 1 Samuel chapter 23. One of the major questions that always surrounds this passage has to do with the ephod. In verse 6 we read that Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah. There are many who ask, first of all, what is an ephod? And as that question is answered, people begin to wonder, in what part of the passage did David use the ephod? Was the ephod used only in verses 7 through 13, the end of the passage? Or did David use the ephod also in the first part of the passage to inquire of the Lord? What is the purpose of the ephod in this passage? And besides that, why does the Lord emphasize the ephod in the structure that he's given us? If you look at the structure I put in your bulletins, the chiastic structure, you can see that Abiathar and the ephod stands at the center of this passage. In the middle of this story, we have the note in verse 6 that Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah. The verse is like the hinge of this passage. As the chiastic structure shows, the passage builds on the one side leading to verse 6. And on the other side, it comes down the mountain leading to after verse 6, leading to verse 13. What is so important about this ephod? Why does God emphasize it for us in this passage? And what was the use of the ephod here in 1 Samuel 23? Well, to begin this morning, we need to know and understand what an ephod is. An ephod was described in Exodus as God ordained what the priests would wear. And the ephod was something that he wore on his garment so that the priest and the elders of Israel, and later the kings of Israel, could inquire of the Lord. In Numbers 27, verse 21, we read such an instance in which God tells Moses that someday Joshua, as he succeeds Moses, will go to the priest and use the ephod to inquire of the Lord. How does the ephod work? We're not exactly sure. We know that the ephod contained two special stones which would change color as questions were asked of the Lord. But one thing we do know is that it was the kind of revelation similar to the drawing of lots, whereas people could find out a yes or no answer. As the ephod is used, it does not give full sentences. God does not speak full answers as the ephod is used by way of the priest. The ephod can only be used for a yes or a no answer, a short answer that can give directions to the people. Well, as we look at our passage this morning, you will see that in the structure of our passage, there are two places, once in the first half of the passage and once in the second half of the passage, where David inquires two times of the Lord. And in the first part of the passage, verse 2, we read that David inquires of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord answers him, "Go attack the Philistines and save Keilah." David inquires of the Lord again in verse 4, and again the Lord tells him, "Go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hand." But now notice in the second half, verse 10, David inquires of the Lord, "O Lord, God of Israel, your servant has definitely heard that Saul plans to come to Keilah and destroy the town on account of me. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord, God of Israel, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will." "Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will." Clearly, in the second half of the passage, David is using the ephod. Clearly, as the priest is there, as the ephod is used, David receives clear direction from the Lord by way of the ephod. But in the first half of the passage, David is not using the ephod, because the answers that the Lord gives to David are full sentence answers. Somehow David is communicating with the Lord like one of the prophets, inquiring of the Lord and the Lord answering him in the first part of this passage. Why? What is going on in our text? What does the Lord want us to see? And more importantly, why the focus then on verse 6 concerning the ephod? Well, let us take a little bit closer look at our passage and the structure. In verse 1, we're told information from the narrator. David is told that the Philistines are fighting against the town of Keilah and they're looting the threshing floors. The Philistines have come again. They are attacking an Israelite town, and they're taking their food right off the threshing floors of the Israelites. David hears the word, and he inquires of the Lord in verse 2, And he asked the Lord, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord answers him with three commands. Go, attack, and save. Go, attack the Philistines, and save Keilah, are God's instructions to David. These were the instructions that Saul was supposed to follow. These were the instructions that Samuel tells Saul David will fulfill on his behalf. David will defeat the Philistines. David's men are hesitant, verse 3. Here in Judah, we are afraid. Well, they're afraid of Saul, aren't they? Because Saul is trying to kill David. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces? They are afraid not only of the Philistine forces, but once David goes and saves the city of Keilah, King Saul will hear of it and he will know where David is. And so the men of David's army are hesitant as the Lord instructs David what to do. Once again, David inquires of the Lord. Now notice verse 4. The question David asked the Lord is not repeated. In verse 2, we read David saying, shall I go and attack the Philistines? And in verse 4, the question is not repeated. All we're told is that David inquired of the Lord. As you look at the last half of the passage, David repeats his question to the Lord the second time. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul? Verse 12. But in verse 4, the emphasis is on the fact that David is inquiring of the Lord. That's the part that is repeated two times. And the Lord answers him, go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hand. The Lord's answer is different this time, isn't it? He tells David to go down to Keilah, and he gives David the answer. What is going to happen when David attacks? I, the Lord, is going to give the Philistines, David, into your hand. God is going to give the victory, and God is going to give the victory through David. Do you see how the Lord and David come together in this dialogue that takes place? David is going to rescue the city, but God is going to give the victory. And as David wins the victory for the Israelites, David and the Lord are one in the same. The Philistines will be given by the Lord into David's hand. Now keep in mind the language, into your hand. We will come back to that in a moment. In verse 5, we read the result of this battle. God tells David three commands in verse 2. Go, attack, and save. David in verse 5 goes. His men go to Keilah. They went to Keilah, the language in my Bible. They fought the Philistines, they attacked the Philistines, and they carried off their livestock, raiding the Philistine warriors. They inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines, and we're told that he saved the people of Keilah. Three verbs are used. God commands David to go, attack, and save. In verse 5, David follows the instructions perfectly. He goes, he attacks, and he saves the people of Keilah. Then we come to verse 6. Now our story is flowing along. We're reading about David. We're reading about the Philistines. A battle that takes place, a city that's being raided, that David saves. And suddenly in verse 6, the narrator slips in another comment. that would seem to some maybe unrelated to the rest of the story. Verse 6, now Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah. Why does the narrator include this sentence in our text? Why not go on to the next part and tell us about Saul? Because the narrator is reminding us of something here. Now Abiathar, son of Ahimelech. Who was Ahimelech? In the previous chapter, we just read of Ahimelech. Ahimelech was the priest of the Lord that David went to. And David was received. David received or was handed the bread of the presence and the sword of Goliath from Ahimelech the priest. King Saul finds out about this. And King Saul, in chapter 22, gives the order that Ahimelech the priest be destroyed. He and his family put to the sword along with the Israelite city of Nob. And so the author reminds us, verse 6, that this is Abiathar, son of Ahimelech. In verse 9, he's called Abiathar the priest. In verse 6, he's called Abiathar, son of Ahimelech. The author wants to remind us again of what has taken place in the previous story. In the previous story, King Saul is killing the Israelite priests and the entire Israelite town of Nob. But in chapter 23, David is following the Lord's instructions by going, attacking the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, and saving an Israelite town. Do you see the contrast that's taking place? Lest we begin this morning in chapter 23 and you totally forget what has taken place before, the author won't let you. By stating the name Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, and the fact that Abiathar ran to David at Keilah, the author is reminding us of the contrast that is taking place between David and Saul. Saul murders the priests and the entire Israelite town of Nob. The king that is supposed to save his people from the Philistines is killing his own people. But David, God's anointed, the next king of Israel whom God is with, who inquires of the Lord and God gives his answer to, David is saving Israelite towns from the Philistines who are attacking them and carrying off their food. And so, verse 6, we read that Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah. Now, there's one more thing about this verse I want to point out at this time. And it's not in my NIV version, but it would be in your other versions read much better. It's that Abiathar holds in his hand the ephod. Now, the last time we read about the ephod was in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And in 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan is attacking the Philistines. Saul is sitting under a pomegranate tree in Gibeah with his 600 men. He has the priest with him along with the ephod, and the Philistines have gathered for battle. Jonathan goes forth, and he goes up this mountain hill on his own, and he begins attacking the Philistines, bringing the Israelites to victory. As Saul sees the Philistines fleeing, he tells the priest in verse 18, bring the ephod. And while Saul was talking to the priest, the Philistine tumult increased more and more. And so Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Saul in chapter 14 is ready to ask the Lord through the ephod for advice. Saul's not one to follow the instructions of the Lord. We've learned that as we've studied King Saul. And now as the Israelites are about to gain victory, he's about to ask the Lord for advice about what to do. But before he does that, he discerns that the Philistines are running. And he tells the priest to withdraw his hand from the ephod. Saul again fails to inquire of the Lord about the Lord's instructions and about what he should do. And so now the ephod is in the hand of the priest going down to David at Keilah. And David inquires of the Lord. The Lord is no longer with Saul. The Lord is with David. Yet as our story goes on, Saul continues with his patterns and his ways. In verse 7, Saul is told that David goes down to Keilah. And he said, God has handed David over to me, for David has imprisoned himself by entering a town with gates and bars. Saul thinks, without asking the Lord, that simply because David has gone to Keilah, he's gone to a place where I can attack him. And look, he tells his people, God has handed him over to me. Now, in the first half of the story, God tells David that I've given the Philistines into your hand. In the center of the story, the ephod is in the hand of the priest. And now Saul on his own, without asking the Lord or consulting the Lord, hears that David has gone to Keilah, and he determines with his own mind that he knows the will of the Lord. He's done that many times, hasn't he? And that because David is there, God has handed David over to him. And so Saul, verse 8, calls up his forces, all the army of Israel, to go to Keilah to besiege David and his men. He's already destroyed one Israelite town. Now he's ready to destroy another. Well, David has saved them. David learns what's going on, verse 9. He hears that Saul is plotting against him, and now he turns to Abiathar, the priest, David's priest. Bring the ephod, David said. O Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come to Keilah and destroy this town on account of me. Saul has already destroyed Nob on account of David. Now he's ready to do it again, the text tells us. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord, God of Israel, tell your servant. Notice the language of our text. As David is seeking the Lord's will from the ephod, he starts out his sentence, O Lord, God of Israel, your servant. He's praying to the Lord. He's praying to the God of Israel, God's people. And who is his servant? David. Not the king. Not Saul. You see, the author repeats these words for us because he wants us to see that there's something significant going on here. What happens to David will affect God's relationship with his people Israel. David is now the servant. The Lord is the shepherd of God's people, and he's appointed David to continue on as his shepherd. And as David prays to the God of Israel, he declares himself as God's servant. The Lord's answer is, he will. He will give. Saul will come down and fight you. And so David asks, will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul? And the Lord's answer, they will. So David and his men, about 600 in number, leave Keilah. They keep moving from place to place. And when Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. Do you see the contrast that is taking place in our passage? As the structure builds on the one side and comes down the other side, you see the contrasts that are taking place in our passage. The Philistines attack. David saves. Saul is going to attack. David escapes by God's grace, by God's salvation. David brings life to a city, salvation to a city. King Saul brings death to his own people, to his own cities, and wants to bring death to God's anointed. Yet standing at the center of our passage is verse 6. Standing at the center of our passage is Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, with the ephod of the Lord in his hand. And he has now gone from Saul to David. The ephod of the Lord has left Saul and gone to David. The Lord is now with David and not with Saul. But why the significance? Why the emphasis on this ephod in verse 6 and this entire sentence concerning Abiathar, son of Ahimelech? Well, you notice there's two ways that David communicates with the Lord. In the first way, David communicates directly to the Lord, almost like one of the prophets. He inquires of the Lord, and the Lord answers. Something Saul never does. In the second half of the story, David and the Lord communicate by way of the ephod, by way of the priest. David acts in his life as a prophet, conducting the things that a prophet would do. David acts in our story like a king as he rescues a city and delivers them from the Philistines. But David cannot act or do as the priest. You see, David is special. The text tells us that the Lord speaks to him almost like a prophet, like no other king could communicate with God. David has the ephod of the Lord and the Lord's blessing in his hands and performs a victorious battle on behalf of the Lord. But yet David cannot be the priest. David cannot forgive the sins of his people. David cannot bring the family of Abiathar back to life. That would come for the son of David. That would come through one who would come much later, the Son of God. And as the Son of God came down to this earth, he was told to go, to attack, and to save. And as the Son of God came down to this earth, he went. He attacked. He saved. He went out into the wilderness of temptation. And he fought off the temptations of Satan, fighting off the prince of darkness. He re-entered the land of Judah. And he saved the leper. He saved the blind. He saved those possessed by demons, driving Satan out of their hearts. And even though he came, he attacked and saved. The leaders of his own people plotted against him. They decided that they were going to imprison him and betray him. And the people that he saved would be willing to hand him over into the hands of those who would kill him. Jesus knows this. And as we read in verse 13, David moving from place to place, so did the Son of Man. For in Matthew chapter 6, we read that foxes have holes, birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. As Jesus is handed over, as he goes to the cross, he can and does accomplish what David could not do. For the priest of the Lord comes. He dies on the cross. He pays for the sins of his people. And he brings life, resurrection life, to those who have died in the Lord. In our story, God hands the Philistines over into David's hands. Ahimelech comes to David with the ephod in his hand, symbolizing the Lord's presence now with David, as his father handed the bread and his father handed the sword. Saul thinks that God has given David into his hands, and all that Saul can bring is death. But you see, God has given us a Savior much greater than David. God has given us the very Son of God. And the Son of God has come to this earth for you. He has come, he has attacked, and he has saved. And the high priest, who is now seated in heaven before the throne of God, Jesus Christ, he holds you in his hand and will never let go forever and ever. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you, Lord, for this glorious passage, which we can see in the life of David, the life of our Savior. We're thankful, Lord, that you have come to this world to save us, that the Lord Jesus Christ has come, that he has fought for us, that he has delivered us from sin and death, and that he equips us and strengthens us every day to fight off the enemies around us. And we know, O Lord, as the ephod came to David, so you are with him. So you continue to be with him. so that in him you are with us. As we live on this earth, as we wander from place to place, we recognize that we have no home. We recognize that we do not belong to this place, for this place is only temporary, and someday we will all die. Yet in Jesus Christ, we have an eternal home. In Jesus Christ, no matter what comes our way, we have no fear, for he holds us in the palm of his hand, and no one can snatch us away. For as we stand in your presence, and in the presence of the high priest in heaven and on high, may you give us the comfort and the strength that comes from knowing that we are his forevermore. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.